Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We'll be here for the next 24 and a half minutes. Thank you for listening to AFR Monday, December the 16th. I'm Tim with Fred and Chris. Steve Paisley-Jordahl is not able to be with us today. But Steve will be back tomorrow, hopefully. That's the plan. And Ed's out all week till Friday.
Yeah. Well, the
brother Ed,
the crew is here.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're carrying. You know, you were talking about it's still going on in Mar-a-Lago. This is President-elect Donald Trump. CNN, Fox, and MSNBC are all carrying this news conference live. It's been going on for a half an hour now.
Right. You mean just President Trump taking questions from the reporters?
Normally, a kind of news conference that a president would give.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But as we were saying, Biden is nowhere to be seen.
Yeah, I know.
This is something that a president does, and Trump is doing it.
You know, this is old news by now, but I mean, still, what I'm about to say. I've said it before. I don't understand how Biden wasn't removed, or why he didn't step down in June. Even if Harris, which she's terrible, let's just be honest, on many different levels. Even if she were to assume the role as president, that'd at least be the constitutional mechanism for dealing with somebody who's incapable of doing the job. So Biden stepped after that disastrous debate performance in June. We all remember that. Mm-hmm. Where Biden's looking out into space while it was just awful. We all remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, I'm not putting down people who suffer from mental decline, because probably all going to get there if we live long enough, right? So, but clearly Biden was incapable of debating, and I'm also incapable of being CEO of America for the next 7 or 8 months, and I don't want to, or whatever it was, and I'm incapable of being commander in chief. I don't have all my faculties, and you need all your faculties, and then some, to be commander in chief of the United States of America, especially in this day and age in which we live, and you got, fires around the world. So how in the world he didn't have to step down, I don't understand it. But here we are. We've been 7 months. What, June? No, we haven't been 6 months. We've been 6 months since June, since the debate. And now President Trump basically is, as I said, he is having press conferences as if he is president. Now he will be, I'm talking acting president. When's the inauguration?
36 days, 20th of January.
Okay.
Yep.
Oh, we still got 36 days?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he's fielding questions. We're not able to hear it because it's on the TV, but we can't, the TV monitor. And President Trump's hair, you said his hair's changed.
Yeah, he's not Orange Man anymore. He's silver gray, which I think is more natural.
Yeah, that's probably the natural. I mean, he was a blonde guy, wasn't he, for most of his life?
Well, yes. Orange blonde.
But the orange, I think, came from the face paint.
The tanning?
The tanning salon. I think that's what that was from. Or, anyway, I don't know. Who knows why, but he was called Orange Man. Orange Man Bad. Remember that from the left?
Yes. Yeah.
But, yes, he's got a very distinguished, natural look of would you call that gray or silver? I call it silver.
Yeah. Gray silver, I guess it is.
A little Charlie Rich going on there. Huh?
Yeah.
The silver fox
from
the 60s and 70s.
I remember him. He opened for the Carpenters.
No. Chris. Thank you. Everybody, since we put Carpenters on Chris's mind, everything's connected in the 70s connected to the Carpenters.
He remembers that day.
Yeah, I did actually hear a song from the Carpenters. We've got a local station here, a secular station, that plays nonstop Christmas stuff.
Yeah.
And the other day it was a Carpenters song, and I knew who it was based on Tim sending me to an education camp.
Carpenters, a great duo there from the 70s. That kind of brother, sister, there's probably never been a better singing duo. Some might say, well, Donnie and Marie were pretty good.
Yeah.
Yes.
Too.
I think when you're family members, like there's just I mean, I've heard different siblings sing together. They harmonize well. I think it's because you're around each other so much.
That didn't work for our family at all. We have zero. I don't know any singers. My first cousin's a singer. Mm. Other than that, I don't know anybody that can sing besides me on our, you know.
Well, Wesley will be here tomorrow. Is Wesley here tomorrow? So,
no, Wesley's not here tomorrow, and you don't want to hear him sing. You'd rather hear me sing than hear him sing. I don't even know if he sings. I haven't heard much from him on that regard. Anyway, it's probably unusual to have just zero musical talent in a family, you know, other than what I produce. I don't know why you like Fred. You're laughing in my face, Fred.
We could get our producer Brent to produce a soundtrack of some type, and you could sing along with that.
We should do that. We should go down to the recording studio down there and do like a We Are the World thing of all the AFR voices. I don't know if
people want to hear that. So, do you have singing or instrumental?
He's in a choir.
I sing in the
choir.
Are
you in the choir?
Church.
Well, that's great, Chris.
Now, yeah.
The church choir where they take anybody?
Yes.
Okay.
I feel
that sounded terrible. I did not mean that like it sounded.
No.
Because if you sing for the church choir, you must be able to sing at least some.
Yeah.
But they do. It is voluntary.
I'm one of the tenors.
Nobody pays to come see you.
But yeah, my dad was a music teacher. My wife sings.
Okay. What range do you do? I'm
one of the tenors.
Tenors?
I basically just add a little bit of volume. We have one guy that's stellar, Cole.
Okay.
God bless him. If you're listening, Cole, we appreciate you very much. And his wife, Carrie.
Okay.
They're actually...
Did you ever play an instrument?
Yes, I played...
That's right. You were in the band.
Mm-hmm. I was in the band.
What instrument?
Drums.
Okay.
And then...
I love band drums. We're talking...
Marching band.
Marching band drums?
And I also played in the jazz band. Actually, that's how I met my wife. My wife and I both were at a community college here in our area on a music scholarship, and we're part of a musical group. She was one of the singers. I played the drums, and that's how we met.
That's how you met. Okay. Mm-hmm. What about you, Fred?
I sing in the choir every now and then.
Yeah.
Back row.
Back row.
As long as there's others around me.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's the extent. Actually, you know, that's funny. This comes up.
Yeah.
Back when I was a kid, I think it was grade 6 or grade 7, in our area, the local TV station used to bring in kids at Christmas time, and schools would come in and sing carols.
Yeah.
And this is way back in the 60s.
Nova Scotia in the 60s.
In the 60s. And they would do this live. There was a lot of live programming. And my dad was trying to take a picture of me singing on TV. And he had one of those old cameras that had a flash bulb. And he was so excited he put a Christmas bulb in the camera instead of the flash bulb. That didn't work out well. So
the
flash bulb on the camera, you know, the old camera.
Was he drinking or?
No, he's just so excited because it was live and he only had one chance to do this and he blew it.
Blew it. I like the way you used that term. Blew it. Anyway, all right. Well,
great memories in music.
I hope. Yeah, we all enjoy Christmas music, don't we?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Is there a favorite? What's your favorite?
Christmas music? You mean a style, or what are you talking about?
Just what's one that you always kind of kick off the season with?
Oh, well, I like smooth jazz Christmas music. Yeah. That's my favorite. That's more instrumental.
Our church had their Christmas program, our choir, yesterday, and I want to say they did a fantastic job.
Yeah.
And it wrapped up with the Hallelujah chorus.
I love that. Yeah.
Incredible.
Absolutely.
It was wonderful.
You better have some singers if you're going to go down that path.
Well, we do have
some
singers.
That's a little bit different than just singing away in the manger.
No.
You're going for Handel's Messiah.
It was excellent. It really was.
Yeah.
Very thankful.
I enjoy my favorite one, and I always kind of, this is my first one to generally listen to on Black Friday. Although I do listen to Christmas music from time to time throughout the year on days that are just really rough, news days.
Yeah.
But my favorite one is Neil Diamond did a cover of Oh Holy Night back in the very early 90s.
Yeah, he's Jewish.
Yes. yes. But it's he's recorded this several times on different albums, but it's the one where he's sitting in front of a fireplace and Neil Diamond is wearing what I can only describe as a very snazzy sweater.
Uh-huh.
And that is that version. He's got like a choir singing backup with him, and man, it'll
is make, it awesome?
Yes, it makes.
Yeah. I don't know what I'm just saying. Neil Diamond's family heritage is Jewish. He I don't know what his heart condition is.
Correct.
Today, mm-hmm. I always just find it funny when the. Barbara Streisand does a Christmas album, you're going like, she's Jewish, but they know singing some Christmas music can, you know, be popular and make some money.
They can sing.
Yeah, they can sing, yeah.
Yes.
Barbara Streisand, yeah, she can sing.
She can sing.
All right, first story, Chris, or second. I don't know. Have we
talking
done
about,
yeah,
talking about Trump and making money here. He's made $15 million more dollars from
he needs
ABC.
It. He needs
yes,
it.
He does.
Yeah, ABC News is having to pay Trump $15 million because George Stephanopoulos wouldn't stop, right?
Right.
What did Stephanopoulos do that caused ABC some financial consternation.
Okay. So Stephanopoulos brought on Representative Nancy Mace a ways back to ask her about why she is supporting Donald Trump when she herself has
this
said
is before the election.
Yes.
Okay.
Nancy Mace has said publicly that she is a survivor of abuse. And so Stephanopoulos brought her on his program on ABC and brought up, why in the world are you supporting this man when he has been found guilty of rape? And he said the word rape several times during that segment to try to keep challenging her as to why she would do that. Well, the issue here is that Trump was never convicted of rape. It was a sex abuse case to which Trump denies. This is the E. Jean Carroll case from like 1990-something.
Yeah.
So Trump lawyered up. They went to court over this, and ABC, with George Stephanopoulos, have been forced to pay $15 million to Trump to settle a defamation suit. Trump plans to use this in various ways, including even putting it towards a presidential library.
I love that.
Yeah, I know. You know what, George Stephanopoulos and ABC, you know, when we say the mainstream media is extremely biased, this is the kind of stuff we're talking about. All Stephanopoulos had to do was stick to the legal record. It is true to say that President Trump was convicted of some kind of a sex abuse charge. I don't know what the technical.
Well, I don't think he was convicted. There may have been a settlement, but not convicted of sexual assault.
Okay. Well, anyway, look that up, Chris. I'm not sure what that was, but it wasn't rape.
Okay, so Trump filed a defamation suit against Stephanopoulos after he asserted that Trump was found, quote, liable for rape in a civil case during a contentious interview with Representative Nancy Mace. That was
okay. But Trump was never found liable or convicted of rape.
Never.
That was not true. And Stephanopoulos kept saying that, and they never apologized, I guess, until they got a court decision against them now, saying that ABC News, because of Stephanopoulos's actions and his slander of the former president, soon to be president again, Trump has to pay him $15 million.
Mm-hmm.
So
ABC, and because of the settlement, ABC News and George Stephanopoulos are going to pay to build the Trump Presidential Library.
Yeah, you're laughing, Fred. You think that's really funny, don't you?
I just think that's incredible.
This here donated by George Stephanopoulos.
We want to thank
the
Stephanopoulos and the ABC family they need to have us. They'll probably have a plaque on the Trump Presidential Library saying our thanks to the generous donation of ABC News to help build this building.
We know we're laughing.
Yeah.
But we know Donald Trump.
Yeah. He'll probably do that.
He'll probably do that.
He's still going, by the way.
Trump's been talking for how long?
45 minutes now.
Yeah. And keep in mind, President Joe Biden was often criticized for not doing interviews. Or, you know, he would do a sit-down, but it was always with a very friendly network.
Well, whatever you say of Donald Trump, don't ever say he avoids the media, because he will sit there. He'll go to they leave the room almost. I mean, he is a
– it's amazing.
He might call you names, but he's going to talk to you.
Here's also the thing about it is, for Trump, one of his strengths is his ability to do what these what they call gaggles.
Yes.
And by that, I mean, he just goes into the room, and the media is there, and he doesn't know necessarily what – now, he probably has an idea what's in the news mm-hmm. that I'm going to be asked about, but he doesn't know all the different various questions that are going to come at him from the media.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a live press conference, so whatever he says, is going to go out around the world, so to speak. And so just to have the ability to field questions and answering them on your feet, as they say, is a gift that he has that a lot of even politicians don't want. Back when Biden was normal, okay, he could take questions from reporters. I mean, he was very good on his feet.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just saying, Trump is one of the best I've ever seen at taking questions from reporters.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll do it for 45 minutes or an hour or whatever, and about all kind of different topics.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, but anyway, who's that?
That is SoftBank Group CEO. I'm sorry. I got the wrong guess.
Well, hold on just a second. You know how many people, excuse me, Chris, you're trying to look that up because I asked the question, who's at the microphone there at Mar-a-Lago? Do you know that Trump has met in the last week with Mark Zuckerberg,
uh-huh.
last week or two? The, mm-hmm. of course, Elon Musk
mm-hmm.
Is basically on the Trump team. By the way, Elon Musk deserves a lot of credit. I've mentioned this before. For his stand during that, he didn't have to get involved.
No,
in the presidential election, and normally people of his stature either support a Democrat or a liberal, or they stay out of it
mm-hmm.
because supporting a Republican and or a conservative for the presidency, for a celebrity, even a businessman of Elon Musk's stature, he stands the chance of being canceled by big business and Hollywood and all these things. Now, but I would say this, Elon Musk, he can't be canceled. And I think he knows that.
Yes.
Because he's the wealthiest man in the world and one of the most successful businessmen in history. And so his place is secure. But I think he's the kind of guy, what strikes me, Elon Musk I'm talking about, that would have taken a stand anyway. But what Elon Musk saw was, listen, there's a choice between Trump and Harris. And Trump stands for freedom
mm-hmm.
and liberty mm-hmm. and our way of life. And Harris is for socialism and Marxism and big government control. And I, as a business, I'm talking as if I'm him. I, as a international businessman and an American citizen with my corporations located in the United States, I see the threat here of what Harris and these far lefties represent to private enterprise, to private property, again, to, I use the expression, our way of life. And so that Elon Musk, of course, he bought Twitter. And changed it to X because he saw the left controlling all the social media.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I'll buy. And he's not making money off X, I don't think. I think he just said, somebody needs to step in here as a voice of reason and an alternative to the far lefties. And it's not that Elon Musk is a true conservative. I don't know. I haven't seen him take a test on all his beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
But he is fairly conservative. Okay,
yes.
On his
when it comes to freedom of speech,
he's very pro-American.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, very constitutional.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think he deserves a lot of credit, and I'm sure President Trump has thanked him for his involvement here in the presidential election when he didn't have to.
Yes,
when he didn't have to be is what I'm saying.
You know, you were listing the others who are visiting at Mar-a-Lago. Jeff Bezos.
That's right.
Amazon.
Jeff Bezos.
Washington Post.
Yeah, he's going to go. Well, all these people, they may not have come out in favor like Elon Musk did of Trump during the election, but now they know he's the president elected by the people for the next 4 years, and they want to be able to do business in the United States, and it helps to have a good relationship with the whoever the president is.
Yeah.
And in this case, you know, Trump is going to be the president for the next 4 years. Now, you know what? Who was it that came out and said that Vance will be the next president? Oh, Romney. Mitt Romney. Did y'all see that?
There was something, yes, on Fox.
Mitt Romney, the senator from Utah.
Oh, yeah. He predicted J.D. Vance will be the 2028.
Well, of course, he's been... he and Trump have been at odds for a long time.
Yes.
But he said he thinks that J.D. Vance will be, you know, when Trump's only can only serve one term, right, because mm-hmm. he's already served one term. So that mm-hmm. this would be the second one. But I guess that Romney is saying watch for the emergence of J.D. Vance as one of the leaders in the party and the administration, because he's set to become, you know, when this term is over, this next 4 years, that Vance will be the GOP nominee. That yeah. makes sense because he's a VP, right?
Oh, absolutely.
But
it's kind of interesting. I'm not sure if Romney has a problem with DeSantis, because a lot of people think DeSantis has a good potential to be on the ticket.
Well, you know, it could be J.D. Vance and Ron DeSantis. That
wow.
could be a
can you imagine
kind of a dream team there.
Ohio and Florida. Republican has ever won the White House without winning Ohio.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's a long way away. Who knows? I wondered what Governor DeSantis is going to do with that Senate seat that Marco Rubio's given up, because that's going to have to be announced fairly soon. Marco Rubio, the senator from Florida, is going to be Trump's Secretary of State, thus opening up a Senate seat from Florida. And now... You know, this is almost like a soap opera, in the sense that as Trump world turns, you know, we've got the daughter-in-law of the president, Laura
Trump.
Mm-hmm. She's wanting to be the senator.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
from Florida, that takes over Marco Rubio. I guess he has 2 years left in his term.
He does. So. Yep.
But in this case, President Trump would be leaning on Governor DeSantis to appoint his daughter-in-law mm-hmm. to be the senator from Florida.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Now.
But she has just stepped down. She does have some leadership qualities.
At the RNC.
She's just stepped down from the RNC.
But that'll be interesting to see, because... What will DeSantis do? Because I'm wondering, and I don't have any inside knowledge on this, I'm wondering if you're Ron DeSantis, maybe you want to be the senator. You want to run for Senate in 2 years, because his governorship will be up. He would have served 8 years as governor of the state of Florida. I'm mm-hmm. talking about Ron DeSantis. So mm-hmm. does he want to be the senator? Because, you know what I'm saying? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what's... We'll probably learn that in the next... few days.
Yes.
What's going to happen there in the state? Or does DeSantis have somebody else in mind that he wants to appoint to the to take Marco Rubio's place instead of Laura Trump? Or maybe he'll appoint her.
Yep.
And
interesting times.
Maybe he'll do some kind of art of the deal with Trump and get promised something in his administration.
Mm-hmm.
So we, as I say, that's why it's as Trump world turns here.
Yep.
Going forward. Well, hope you have a great day, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.